Amen. Don't take this thing for granted, folks. You got to serve God with your whole heart. As me and my wife was discussing the call of God and where the church is today, this week has been a turbulent week for the body of Christ, and many things are happening in the body of Christ. And my word to the believer, especially to the leaders in the body of Christ, is that we got to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul says that I run this race to the finish. Amen.
Yes.
I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
He also let us know that the race is not given to the swift or to the mighty, but the one to endure to the end. Amen.
Yes.
What am I saying to you? It's no quitting now.
Yes.
Amen. It's no quitting now. You got to understand that Jesus is with us. I don't care how hard it gets. What you think you lose of this world, lose it and gain Christ. The more we get of him, the better off we're going to be.
Amen.
Amen. With that said, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. The message today, where are we in Christ Jesus? Where are we in Christ Jesus? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you once again thanking you for being the awesome, great God that you are. Oh God, even as you remind us, Father, that you would never leave us or forsake us. Oh God, in these turbulent times, we know that you are there.
Yes.
But let our faith not fail us. Let us keep our trust in you. I'm talking about the body of Christ. This is not time for us as believers and leaders to try to preach something that's not scripture, to comfort the people as they go through, but give them the truth. Your word is truth. Holy Ghost, we depending on you to deliver this word through us. It's the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost that will open the ears and the eyes of all who will listen, receive what God is saying. Father, we ask that you bless every church today that's open in the name of Jesus. Oh God, stir the hearts of your people, Father, like never before. That each believer will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, go to work in our lives, even now, in Jesus' name that we pray. And let the saints of God say amen,
amen,
amen, amen. Well, bless the Lord, amen. Where are we in Christ Jesus? Matthew, the 6th chapter, Matthew, the 12th chapter. It's where we're going to be coming out of, and I'm not going to read the complete chapters, but I am going to give you the word. Amen. Matthew 6:25 reads, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. He's talking to us. Amen. As he was speaking then, he was speaking to his disciples and the multitudes around him. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are ye not much better than they? That's a question. Aren't you better than they? You have to ask yourself that. Can you put your trust in God to take care of you? You have to ask those questions. Matthew 6:30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat or what we shall drink. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, that's what the world go after. For your heavenly Father know that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As I was approaching this word this morning, I was thinking about some of the conversation me and Dr. Scott was talking about. You know, we're looking at times, and as I was praying, it's two words that I was praying over Houston and the surrounding areas, Beaumont, Port Arthur, Lake Charles, and all of those areas. And I was thinking about something, two words came into my heart, helpless and hopeless. Hopeless and helpless. Without Christ, it's a terrible thing. I don't know if any of you ever been in a flood or not, or you ever been in an earthquake or not, or you've been in a situation where it's hopeless and helpless. But I know even through all that those folk are going through and we watching it here, there are many Christians right there. Their faith is being tested. Amen. We know the world has no hope. They're looking for the president and the government and the city to rescue them, and we should rescue them. But to give them hope, that can only come through Jesus Christ. Some have lost all of their earthly possessions and can't never see again of a chance of starting over. That's the reason it says, you know what? Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to lose on this earth. Get rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Amen? So you can say that. You've never been through that. I've been through earthquakes, folk. I lived in hurricanes, and I've seen what they can do. Amen. I've been in floods, but nothing like that. Amen. But God brought us all the way through. And even in the times of the modern technology, the things that help these folk out to get out of this thing quickly, they didn't have that back in 1957 and 58. Amen. And but we still, God brought us through. I remember a tornado come through our yard, and you have to understand what kind of house I lived in. They were called shotgun houses. They looked like they could barely stand up. You know, you go through the front door, straight out the back door. And I remember as this tornado was coming and everything, my mother started praying. And we didn't hear no such thing as evacuate. Amen. We didn't hear about prepare for the storm. In fact, you just get a little news across the radio, a storm is coming. You didn't know which direction, but it still showed up. Amen. I remember as this thing came through our yard, we had three chanterberry trees. I don't know if you know what those are. They take a deep root. The first one, it ripped it right up out of the ground. The second one, it brought out and flipped it over. The third one, it broke it in half. And our house couldn't be no more than 6 to 7 feet, but it never hit the house. I remember the wind going and the window panes just rattling, but not one of them broke. It went straight through our yard, made a pathway, kept going. It hit what I call downtown, which brought them here to William Cannon. It took the pool hall. It was nothing left but a pool table and a pool ball. It took the bus station. Was nothing left there. Just built a brand new Dairy Queen. It was just one little sink left. But God kept us. Amen. I don't recall anybody losing their life. But the folk come by and looked at our yard and say, you know, I cannot believe that you all survived this. And I remember the one that the tree pulled up out of the root that became my little swimming pool. It was a little water and I was playing in the mud. Get out of that. Amen. If you know tornadoes, they come and they go. The weather's clear right back up. I was a child. I didn't have any fear because my mother was praying. I didn't know what was going on. But the point I'm trying to make, my life could have been taken many times. Amen. God did not leave us helpless or hopeless. Amen. God would never leave you helpless or hopeless. God would not leave the people in Houston, Southeast Texas, and in Southwest Louisiana. He will not leave them helpless and hopeless. That's the reason we have to call on the name of Jesus. As I've shared with many of our Christian brothers, even pastors, don't go telling people the storm is cause of the sin in America. Because storms come and they go. Amen. Somebody hurting don't need to hear that. Amen. They need to hear a message of hope. And Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Amen. But we have to get to a point as believers that we seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because there's other things in this world that can hurt us other than storms. Amen. can take us out, cause us lose everything other than storms. We all going to have some storms in this life. But Jesus has prepared us if we would just pay attention, if we put him first and his righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you. Even if you lose it all, God knows how to replace it. Amen? Amen. And when God comes back, it's better than what you had before.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
And so I'm saying to you today, it's very important, because one of the questions that popped up in my mind and in my heart as not pertaining to that disaster, but as we say we are Christians, and I've been talking to the Lord about this. I say, okay, Lord, as far as I know, we have lined up with everything the Word of God says. But if when I look in the Word of God, these churches are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm seeing signs, miracles, and wonders. Where are they for us, O Lord? What is it we're not doing, or where are we in all of this here? Is there levels of unbelief we're not aware of? Peel back those things so that we can understand. Lord, you are not Santa Claus. I'm not saying you're supposed to just give us everything we ask, but I'm talking about your church walking in power. I say, Lord, I do not see, and I will honestly say to you, I cannot see how this nation can call itself a Christian nation. I cannot see this nation prospering any further when we don't even want to hear about Jesus. I can't see this nation going forward and prospering and being under divine protection when many who say they're Christians don't even want to go to church.
Oh my God.
We know there's reasons behind that. We know the enemy is working overtime to take people out of fellowship. Amen. One of the researchers says that people are overcrowded with so many things that church does not carry priority anymore. Is that really a reason for a church? That should never be a question in the mind of a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Every church that's open in the name of Jesus should be running over with people every Sunday morning. And the reason I say that, because back in the day, that may have been days before you was born, the church was full at least on Sunday. Amen. Whether you wanted to go or not. And I remember a dear friend of mine who's gone now. He said, you know, I'm not going to treat my children like I was treated. I'm going to let them make up their own mind whether they want to go to church or not. Because he was made to go. And I have to say, though he's gone, his children are some terrible children. And we talked about that. He said, but I think they had a right to their own opinion. They have no right. It's your job to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Then they can have something to balance with. They can see what is and what is not. But today, even as many parents run in fear of disciplining their children because they're afraid what the law is going to do or what people are going to say, well, I'm just going to talk to my children. We're going to work this thing out. Look at what kind of world we got today. I didn't grow up with parents just talking. Amen? They say, I'm not going to tell you again. Amen? I got something that I can show you if you won't listen. Amen? And see, I see kids at 13, 14, 15 making decisions that I wasn't making at 19 and 20. Amen? Coming and going as they please. Parents are afraid to tell them what it had to be. When I was up until I was about 16 or 17 in church, I was on the front row.
Right.
It wasn't no such thing as children church. There's no such thing as children sitting in the back. You are in front of your parents.
Right.
And I mean, sometimes you'll get a little embarrassed, like my little friend Kenny, who always would fall asleep in church. Amen. Put him up on the front row and the preacher could stop right in the middle of the sermon. Wake that boy up right there. He looking around like, oh, I'm talking to you. Wake up. Amen. He didn't go to sleep anymore. Well, you know, you could mess up his, what they call it? You could mess him up a lot, his self-esteem. Well, you know what? They messed up our self-esteem all the time. Amen? We're so worried about messing up people's self-esteem and all of this. Look what we have today. See, it may seem like God was, in those days, our parents were trying to force God on us. That was their way of training us. Amen? And even though we didn't like it, but look where we are today. I'm not putting myself in a category above any of my friends and classmates. But I look around at a class of 78 students, my classmates. We got 32 of them that's in the ground today. Amen. And many rest of them, well, I don't go to church anymore. I don't get into all that. I was made to do that. I'm glad I was made to do it. Amen. When the parents train up their children in the ways of the Lord, they're going to get curious somewhere. God is going to have something to work with. Amen. Yeah, I have told you my story, how I couldn't wait to get away from that small town and going to church and do my thing. But I had enough word in me that even when my friends and new friends who I thought was cool, thugs, hooligans, whatever, dope smokers, they would go do something. I go so far and then I pull back. Amen. And if I didn't pull back, a letter come in the mail. About 3,000 miles, boy, I don't know what you into, but you better stop now. They ain't have no internet. Nobody wasn't texting in. Amen. That letter had to come from Louisiana all the way to Germany, but it's like she's just reading my mail. Well, one thing I knew, my mother knew God. Amen. And I knew my mother's voice. Amen. I might not knew God's voice, but I knew her voice. And then I read in the letter, and I set it down. Rumor, hey, man, we're going to go do it. No, man, I'm not. What's wrong? Well, man, you're not going to understand it. I'm not going. And each time that came in, something would happen to one of those friends. Amen. They'd get in a car wreck or something would happen. They end up in jail and stuff like that. So it's a reason why we are parents. Amen.
Yes.
If you're going to be a godly parent, be a godly parent. Amen.
Yes.
See, in my mother's house, even though my dad was not really a believer, he wasn't a believer. But at the same time, he never impeded on her believing in God. Amen.
Yeah.
I told you my daddy used to be a wino. You know what a wino is?
Yes.
One who drank wine, huh? Amen. But he would not drink wine in the house. Amen. He had his little junk house out. His buddies come. Nope, that's my family now. We sit out here and we drink our wine. Is it old cheap white poke? Amen. Boone's Farm and all that other stuff. Mad Dog, 99, whatever. That stuff that just give you a headache. I see Brother Abel smile. He must know something about that stuff, huh? Amen. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make, he always honored the house. Amen. And God was in our house because if mama was in there, God was in there. And if you didn't want to hear about God, then you go outside. Amen. But you had to come to eat and you had to go to bed. You're still going to hear about God. And so the point is, sometimes folks say, why are you so hard? Every saint should have a godly home. Amen? Your children don't come and set the standard in your house. Not if you know Jesus Christ. Amen? Because when you compromise one, you're going to compromise with the other. And after a while, you're going to turn your back on sin. And then over sin going to take over your house. And so we look at what's happened today. We have to examine ourselves. Where are we with Jesus Christ? Amen? He already told us through the promise that, you know, if we seek him first, everything else is going to be added unto us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
People, we live in a world where everything is laid out for us. But many of our children's stuff want it handed to them. They don't want to go after it. Amen? And the enemy is giving us a meltdown in the brain power. We don't use our brains anymore. We don't read anymore. We want everything just comfortable. Well, see, when disaster comes, who do we turn to?
Jesus.
You know that. The world don't know that. Amen. Even with disaster here, rather than turning to God, what you hear on the news, everybody's trying to blame the mayor, trying to blame the governor, trying to blame the president. Why it always come to a blame game? Huh? Blame is not going to solve that problem. But when you start turning to Jesus Christ, how many know he can turn storms away? Amen. How do you know he can set up an evacuation path that you can get out?
Yes.
If he can part the Red Sea, I know he can move the water off the Gulf Coast. Amen. But we don't want to tell those stories anymore. That's the God that we serve. Amen. I'm convinced that the things that's coming upon this land, even today, we are not prepared for. The pressure is great. And so any of you that's declaring to be a child of God, get ready. Amen. This is not a time, you know, we're talking about Christian burnout. There's no such thing. Paul did not burn out. Amen. You will burn out if you try to operate in Christ in your flesh. Every one of us will burn out. Amen. But then you have the avenue to the kingdom of God. You have access to the throne room that you don't have to have burnout. Amen. Regardless of what people say to you and what people do to you, the Holy Ghost knows how to refresh you. Amen. He knows how to get you alone and tell you to be still and know that I am God. Amen. That's where he's trying to take the church today. God know that all of these things are happening and about to happen. But oftentimes we're trying to help God. Amen. Just because we call citywide prayer by certain church leaders in the city don't mean that God is going to be in the midst. Amen. See, God has asked each and every one of us to get on our face and on our knees to get to know him as a personal God, our Lord, our Father, our God. Amen. And when you start asking God, God, what is it that I have not had this same kind of encounter that's in the Word of God? Amen. Folk, that's what we want as believers. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost as Peter walked. As John walked, as Paul walked, amen? We know Jesus, that's all he is, amen? But I'm going to bring it down to somebody that's on our level. Peter, Paul, the disciples, amen? They were ordinary people just like us, but they got to know Jesus, and they walked in his power. And as they walked in the power, guess what? I noticed something when the Holy Ghost is in full swing and moving by the Spirit. I noticed certain half the church grows. Amen. They don't grow just in membership. They grow in power. Amen. It's a hunger at the altar. People begin to come to the altar. You don't have to give an altar call. They just come to the altar. Amen. And when it's over, they want to know when is the next service. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost is moving in the hearts in the midst of the believer, guess what? Church is not 1 hour. It's when God say, let it go. Amen. When you talk about this power that's in the book of Acts, it has happened after the book of Acts. It has happened in the 1800s, in the 1900s. Many of we talk about Azusa Street. The power was so great there. And I was thinking when I was reading that about now compared to 1906 to 1908, when William Seymour and those little handful of people was on Azusa Street, they had all of these experts, just like we still have experts. They have all of these psychologists and sociologists and all these people, priests and great men of God coming down now to shut this noise up. All these people speaking in tongues. They had groups coming from all over America, not only in California. We're going to shut this stuff down. But what they did not understand, they thought, because they're in their beautiful little churches and they had the nice little congregations, they had the power. They had a portion. They preached Jesus and salvation, but they did not preach the power of the Holy Ghost because they didn't believe in it. They thought it stopped with the last apostles. As I'm reading, it talked about many great preachers of that time decided they was going to converge on Azusa Street. And they had two leaders go ahead of them. We're going to sit in this meeting. We're going to shut them down. But when they went in there, they went up there, and the Holy Ghost took them out. Amen. Next thing he said, all of these preachers, and remember this floor was wheat and dirt. Amen. From the hay and stuff. All these preachers that stuff in their nice looking suits, they down on the ground wallet and praising God and weeping and repenting and got up dusting themselves off. This is real. That's what the Bible say. And they left. Another group come in. The same thing kept happening. One guy said, I'm going to see if this is real or not. Doctor, give me 3 months to live. I got a half a lung and I'm going to take my doctor with me. He went in there and he said, if you can heal me, Holy Ghost hit him right there. He jumped up, started shouting and dancing, and the doctor got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of power I want to see, folks. That's the kind of power that's supposed to be operating in powerhouse of praise. That's the kind of power that you have to seek after. You have to understand that William Seymour spent days and days and weeks and months in prayer and fasting. You have to understand the pressure he was under for God to get him there. He said on the Parham, all of them up in Topeka, Kansas, one little black man and all the rest of these folks seeking the Holy Ghost, he had to sit in the back, not in the same room, behind a partition, because he was black and all of them was white. But he put up with all of that abuse because he was hungry for God.
Yes.
He knew that these men knew the way.
Yes.
He didn't let racism and segregation and all that stuff stop him from receiving what the move of God. And God honored him and took him to L.A. And all those that didn't receive, guess where they end up? In L.A., yes. Sitting under him, under the power of God.
Yes.
See, you have to understand there is no big pastor, no big preacher, or this super preacher out there. It could be any one of you that's walking under the anointing of God.
Yes.
But are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to sell out? Amen. Until Jesus is in the forefront of our life. Matthew 12, 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow do not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. God wants us to know that the kingdom of God is upon us right now.
Yes,
amen. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit is good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit is corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? These are questions we have to ask ourselves. Amen. I don't know about you, but I read these scriptures and I'm trying to measure my life according to the scripture. What kind of fruit am I bringing forth? Amen. I don't know about you. You may not lose sleep over these things. I do. Amen. Because I make a statement that I'm a child of God. Then I'm a child of God. I'm supposed to be bearing good fruit.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus is going to say, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. That's where you have to be careful what you say. Amen. That's where you can't be judging what you see going on down in Houston. Don't be judging preachers and other leaders in the body of Christ. Because you know what? You're going to be judged by the same standard. A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of an evil heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That ought to shake every one of us up. Amen.
Amen.
Watch what you say. Watch the words that you use. Amen. We can say all of those hurtful things to people if we want to, but one day we're going to have to give an account for them. Amen.
Amen.
So you see it, it's written here. We have to understand what God is trying to get over to us. For by the words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's what your words will do for you. They will justify you or they will condemn you. Amen?
Yes.
So be careful what we say. Then certain scribes of the Pharisees answered and said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation, seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was in 3 days and the nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. That's the reason we have to preach nothing but the cross, folk. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
See, we can talk about prosperity. We can talk about all these other things. But the whole message is Jesus Christ. Him crucified. Him resurrected. Amen.
Yes.
That's the whole key to everything that we preach. That's the reason I tell you, we cannot. And I tell you, don't sit there and listen to nobody preach a whole sermon. Don't mention Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus' name carries power and authority forevermore.
Yes.
And when you use his name properly according to the word of God, you can expect great results. Amen.
Amen.
And as he said, you know, judgment, let me finish reading this here. It said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment. This generation shall condemn them because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And then he goes on and said, behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is greater than Jonas. It says, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Right.
Amen. It said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from which I came. And when he come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last day of that man is worse than it was the first. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked generation. Folk, we living in the times of the wicked generation. Amen. See, the way is preached the gospel today, we need to be saved, and we do need to be saved. We do preach Jesus. You know, people get delivered, folk get clean, and we leave it at that. You just entered in, but you also set yourself up for the strong man to come back.
Yeah.
Amen? After God done cleaned up the house, the strong man is always looking for a way back in.
Yeah.
And so I say to you today that we have to go beyond salvation or faith. God has given us all salvation or faith, but we have to go to the faith that pleases God. Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus was teaching specifically applies to the emptiness of Judaism in substituting reformation for regeneration. See, they thought they were so religious, they didn't have to be regenerated. They didn't think that they needed the gospel. And so he was letting them know that, you know what, you'll end up in a worse state than you were in before. So I say to you today, God is moving by his spirit.
Yes,
and one thing I want you to understand, I think I said this in Bible study, but I'm going to say it again. I want you to pay attention to this here. The Holy Spirit follows the blood. Amen? And I'm going to break that down so you understand what I'm saying. I say the Holy Spirit follows the blood of Jesus. Amen? Not your blood, Jesus' blood. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The cleansing took place before the Pentecostal baptism. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? You have to be saved and cleansed before you receive the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yes.
Jesus said on that night before he was betrayed, now are ye clean, but not all. He knew that Judas had the devil in him. The disciples had been sanctified before Pentecost, for the word of God is true. We know that they had been justified a long time before. He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen.
Yes.
Sometimes we get our priorities all mixed up. Amen.
Yes.
Lord, use me in a mighty way. Cast them demons out. That ain't what you need to be rejoicing of. You be rejoicing because your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
Yes.
He said, and we know that they were sanctified when Jesus prayed for them, for Jesus' prayer did not have to be answered in the future, but were answered right there.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And how many know that Jesus is the great intercessor?
Yes.
How many know that he's praying for you right now?
Yes.
He's interceding for you right now. He's asking you on this side to turn to him.
Yes.
On the other side, say, Father, I shed blood for them. I died for them. They're mine. Amen. You have to understand that Jesus stands between us and the Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
They were not only sanctified, but had received the Holy Ghost at a certain measure, because he breathed on them in the upper room and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Some have put it off that they were not sanctified until Pentecost, but we know the Spirit only follows the blood. Amen. Now you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now the Holy Spirit follows after the blood of Jesus. The heart must be clean before the Holy Ghost can endure with power from on high. Get this. It is not the work of the Holy Ghost to burn up inherited sin and carnality. He is not your Savior.
Amen.
Did we get that?
Yeah.
I said Holy Ghost is not your Savior.
Yeah.
Jesus is your Savior. Amen. He has a job to do. The Holy Ghost has a job to do. And we have to understand those things. The disciples were cleaned and sanctified and were sitting and waiting when the Holy Ghost fell upon them. We know also that Cornelius was clean. Amen. For when the Lord let down the sheet before Peter, he said, "Don't you call anything that I said clean, uncommon. Amen. And so we know that God understands and get everything in order for us to carry out the work that he has set up for us. So I say to you, this calls for us to go back again, dig into the word of God and say, "God, am I where you want me to be?" Amen. God, am I ready to receive this power? And if so, Lord, will you use me to use the power? Not that I get any credit, but you get all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen. See, it's time for us to get away. And I'm not speaking necessarily to you, but too many people go to church and they think they're doing God a favor. Amen. Just because they go to church, they don't know the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have to understand the Holy Ghost in you works every day for every second of your life, not just when you come to church. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Holy Ghost give me an unction every day. He tell me when to read. He tell me when to pray. He tell me different things about different people. He tell me about things about myself. Amen. But you got to open your ears to hear him. Amen. He warns us. That's part of his divine security and protection. But we got to hear him. Amen. God wants only the best for his people. I say God wants only the best for his people. And we have to get to the place that we understand that. We have to understand that the power and the promise of God is still good today. Amen. We have to understand that the Holy Ghost is standing by to do a great work. That's the reason we have the book of Acts. So that you can see, it said the act of the apostles, but the proper name is the act of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. You see, these are ordinary men that was messed up just like us. But they gave time to be with God, because Peter says, "Lord, we have sacrificed everything to follow you."
Yes.
Amen. He's saying, guess what? You're not going to regret it.
Yes.
He said, because you know what? You who have sacrificed to follow me, he talking to the apostles now. You know what? You're going to sit on 12 thrones and you're going to judge Israel.
Amen.
Man, they already know where they're going to be sitting. Amen.
Amen.
They may not understand all that's going to take place, but they know they're going to have a high selection in heaven. He told them that even before they died, before he died, how they would end up. Amen. And we realize that all apostles, with the exception of John, was martyred, but they ain't dead no more. Amen. They're there with him, and you will know them one day. And so that's the reason we have to look at the word of God and understand that as God created Peter and John and all apostles, he created you with the same certainty and the same greatness to make his name great. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Whether you're apostle or not, you can still serve God. Amen.
Yes.
Whether your name is written on a big light board out there and you got a magazine and TV camera, it doesn't matter. It's what matters. Do you please God with your life? Amen. You know, the world, we run after the fame of the world. I was looking at some documentary talking about how many people have sold out their lives and wrecked their lives coming from different parts of the country to get to Hollywood so they can be a star. Many have entered into all kinds of things, being lied to. They're going to be the next star. They're going to get this power. And many of them end up drug addicts, some of them prostitutes, men in pornography, and all of this other stuff, because they have a dream that they're going to be a star, and they're going to have a star on the Walk of Fame. And many of them never live to even see it. But I'm trying to tell you now, you can be a star for Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's never going to take you through changes to trick you that he can get glory. Amen. Amen. He wants to lead you into his path of righteousness.
Yes,
for his own name's sake. Yes. Amen. Yes. He want to make your name great as you make his name great. Amen.
Yes,
so that you will have a testimony to tell others what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen.
Yes.
So I'm telling you this morning, we have to see this thing differently.
Yes,
we're not churchgoers. We're not Pharisees.
Yes.
We're the children of the Most High God. We got to make up in our mind we're ready to sell out to Jesus Christ. Amen. Regardless of what the cost may be. We got some promises before us, and God want to fulfill those promises. But we can't faint at this time. Amen. We can't look at the situations around us. Amen. We got to praise him. We got to honor him. Amen. Yes, we're going to get our new church building. It's soon to come. Amen. And we ain't worried about the money. We're not even worried about the location of the building. It's on God now. He promised it. We just stand on it. Amen?
Amen.
But in the meanwhile, we got to get our sell out to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We got to sell Christ to a dying world.
My God.
As I was looking at sharing with you earlier, all of the skeptics and all the ones that came down on Azusa Street when the Holy Ghost Pentecost fell in California in 1906, 1908, and look at it now today. You need to know the Holy Ghost want to fall again. Amen. Are you able to stand? Are you willing to sell out and sacrifice for the Holy Ghost to use us just as he used them?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I don't know about you. That's all I want.
Yes.
That's all I want. I want to walk in power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I want to do what my Jesus was doing. Amen.
Yes.
There's nothing else out there. Millions of dollars can't satisfy what's burning on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
A church building, all a big house, all this other stuff, that cannot satisfy what's burning on the inside of me. I want Jesus. I want him. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I have the Holy Ghost, but it's even more I can have.
Yeah.
And I'm going after the more now. Amen.
Yeah.
I have anybody going to walk with me?
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to seek his face. Amen. I don't have time to let all this petty mess come along. Lord, know this week we're getting all kind of crazy phone calls. But I recognize it was Satan. You're not knocking me off the lead where God is taking me right now.
Amen.
Lord, help me deal with this foolishness and move on. Amen.
Yes.
Now, we have to understand that the promises of God is yea and amen.
Amen.
Did you know that your life depends on an encounter with Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Some encounters are joyful and some are painful.
Yes.
But I'm not talking to you about just any kind of emotional encounter. I'm talking about a glorious, most radical, most life-changing encounter you could ever have, an encounter with the revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ. Many people have been in church years and years have never had a true revelation of Jesus Christ. They have not had an encounter with Jesus Christ. You can't be half-minded and double-minded. You think you're going to have an encounter. Amen?
Amen.
In Jeremiah 29, it tells us we must seek him with our whole heart. Amen? I know you may think that's hard with all the things that you face every day. You got to go to work. You got to deal with the work people. You got to deal with the family. You got to deal with the church. You got to deal with all these other things. But it is possible if you make up your mind that you want to really know Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Because after it's all said and done, you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. I say, if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing.
Amen.
Amen. The revelation of the cross means something beyond the declaration of faith we make when we first accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Receiving him is crucial, but the revelation of the cross is even further. It means knowing and experiencing Jesus in his brokenness, which we can only experience by divine revelation. We cannot truly perceive his blessings until we have been confronted with the reality of his crucifixion in all dimensions. We have to really ask God to show us what the crucifixion is all about. That movie, what is it called? The Passion. As far as the world could ever put it together, that's probably the closest we will see in the natural. And I thank God for, what was his name?
Mel Gibson,
for being bold enough to produce this and direct it and do what he had to do. But I'm glad he was wise enough not to do it in America. it would have never got off the ground. Amen. Because he was in a place, it came as true as anyone we could ever see. And you saw the reaction to many people. I'm going to tell you, that movie, when it played in theaters, people got saved right there in the theater. Amen. My pastor in California asked the theater, say, after this thing played, can I get up and make an altar call? Yes, sir, pastor, you can. It was 180 people got saved at the movies. Amen. But the naysayers out, this is so bloody. If this is what the Bible's about, I can't stand seeing nothing like this. Well, I want to let you know the crucifixion was bloody. It was painful. Your Lord and Savior paid the ultimate price. And even what Mel Gibson them displayed cannot even display what the true crucifixion was all about. Amen. Amen. We cannot even grasp how our Lord and Savior suffered on that cross. You have to understand, he took on something that he never had taken on before. He never bore sin in his body. He never been out of the place of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
He had to bore all of this for you and for me. And it's painful. It was hurtful. But he did it in the flesh. He didn't do it as a spirit or as God. He came in the flesh just like us. Amen?
Amen.
So that he would know. He knows every pain, all the mistreatment, all the things that happened to you and all the evil that you do. He bore it in his body.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to get a revelation of the cross in order to have an encounter. But when you see him, you see him as the disciples saw him after the resurrection. Amen. He's not a ghost.
Yes.
He's the Son of God. Amen.
Yes.
With all power in his hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have to ask God for this encounter, folk. I'm not talking about ask you got salvation, but you need the depths of what he's all about. Amen.
Yes.
You have to understand how important this thing is.
Yes,
you know, we have to understand that Jacob came face to face with the angel of the Lord and said, I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So you have to understand what this encounter is all about. The patriarch Job, who justified himself because he could not understand why his situation was so tragic, he said, when he came face to face with God, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I harbor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
My God.
Amen.
Yes.
This is how important it is. The prophet Isaiah was amazed when he saw the glory of the Lord and cried, woe is me, for I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Folk, when you read these scriptures and just pause and see what God did in the hearts of these men, they become great men of God. Amen?
Yes.
Did you know that Jacob was a schemer, a surplanter?
Yes.
But when he seen God face to face, all of that changed. Amen?
Yes.
And so that's reading the encounter is so important. That's reading sometime when I'm pulling on you all. I know you say, why, Pastor, won't leave me alone? Because I see what God want to do. Some of you still don't know what God want to do with you. Amen? But when you just only get a taste, you start getting hungry. Ain't that right, Deacon Abbott? Amen. God's got great works for all of you in here. And that's what this ministry is all about, raising up mighty men and women of God. Now, I'm not raising up those preachers to go out to get a church. I'm not raising up people to go out there just speaking tongues. I'm trying to raise you up by the direction of the Holy Ghost so he can take your life and do whatever he wants with it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So that you will make God glorious.
Hallelujah.
Through your life. Amen.
Yes.
I want my testimony to be a man who loved God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And I will sacrifice anything and all things to do what God tell me to do.
Bless the Lord.
After being confronted by Nathan the prophet, King David humbled himself and confessed his sin, begging to be purified.
Yes.
He experienced a genuine brokenness, saying, the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Isn't that something?
Yes.
These, oh God, you will not despise.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to get our heart broken.
My God.
We got to let God bring us to that place.
Yes.
Even with your broken heart, God is not casting you away.
No.
But in that, when you repent and you see his glory,
yes,
you will see his great love.
Yes.
As messed up as you are, you ready to withdraw and he's reaching to pull you back. Amen.
Yes.
You ready to run out the door. He says, no, come back. I knew you was going to do this before I created you.
Yes.
I loved you. I know
yes.
you was you were going to mess up 10,000 times.
My God.
I already know that. But I love you so much. I created you with a special purpose in mind. Every one of you got to see God that way. Amen.
Yes.
Not looking for the answers out here in this world. The world has no answers for no one out here. You belong to the Almighty King now.
Yes.
Amen. Praise his holy name.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Anyone who desires to have an encounter with God can do so. He's always close to us. As close as the air we breathe. In his message to the Athenians, Paul declared he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Yes.
And God himself promised through the prophet Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Yes.
Where are you in Jesus Christ?
Jesus.
God bless you.